and welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about law enforcement issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me go ahead and introduce our panel to you. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we have attorney and former federal prosecutor Ward Mythaler. We have retired Captain Brett Bartlett, retired Major, and I usually throw the Major in first, sorry, Ron. Running for Hillsborough County Sheriff, Ronald McMullen. We have retired Corporal David D. Grester and producer Will Statzer, who's making it all happen. Yes, we have no females on today's show, so you might hear us slam the female gender today. I don't know. I'm just doing that as a I know, David. I see David's face and Brett's. Oh, well. Anyhow. But we'll have a lot of fun today. And hey, also a shout out to our sponsors. We have Calm Case Management, Extra Duty Solutions, Guardian Alliance Technologies, Gunlearn.com, and Verdian Weapon Technologies. We're also syndicating the radio 5 days a week, the Good Talk Radio. And also we're getting a lot of good information from Brian Burns at the Free Press. So thanks, guys. And of course, we always have PoliceOne.com. Moving along here, let's see what we got coming. And, you know, we got a lot of chatter actually on our YouTube channel for people that aren't familiar with it. If you subscribe to our channel on YouTube, you know, Leo Roundtable, if you have your alerts turned on, you'll get notices before we do our live show on Monday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. So yeah, we've got Officer George saying that, I guess when his son was in the academy, he was talking to Brett, he said that he started watching the show. And we've got Mark's on here and, you know, Ken had some good comments on here as well. Actually, I guess it was maybe Ken's son that went through the academy. But anyhow, thanks, guys, for watching the show and commenting. And we try to interact with you guys. I know Brett's on there and producer Will's on there as well. So moving along here, let's go to our next topic. And I'm kind of doing a rundown of what's been going on in Portland, Chicago, Minneapolis, Austin, Seattle, Atlanta, and San Francisco. Gonna try to bring everybody up to speed on this. So in Portland, and guys, I'll kind of go through it and maybe take a pause after each one. But I'm starting off with the heavy hitters, where the stuff's all the action's going on. Remember, we started in Minneapolis, and then Seattle and the cop free zone was a big thing, and then Atlanta. But look, Portland, we're still in Portland. Maybe the list of articles coming out in Portland is ridiculous. So there was a march on the North Precinct where they attacked cops. This is crazy. They're throwing golf balls, rocks, potatoes, and eggs, and it was the 75th. Consecutive night of protest. And in this particular one, there were 150 people there, and they're chanting no cops, no prisons, total abolition. They've got they're chanting Black Lives Matter. They did make arrests, but now there's no prosecution for the protesters arrested on nonviolent misdemeanors. And that goes all the way back to like May. Protesters attacked cops also with fire, exploding commercial grade fireworks outside a federal courthouse and the county jail that they were attacking. State police exited Portland after 2 weeks of protest duty. Portland State University disarmed their campus police officers and the protesters in Portland. They held up immigration agents for 12 hours that were detaining people. And here's another incident. Protesters are throwing softball-sized rocks and glass bottles at cops, and the feds stepped in to prosecute the rioters because the district attorney refused to. So that's just awesome, isn't it? And if there's no comments yet, I'm going to hop down to Chicago. 12 officers injured during protests. Rioters and looters terrorized a Ronald McDonald House with sick kids in it. They're smashing the windows and stuff. Just crazy. And then David's friend, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, she slams the state attorney's office. But who is it? Remember the girl Kim Fox? Wow, yeah. Well, Kim Fox is getting a slam for no consequences for the rioters that are getting out of jail and going and doing the same thing all over again, the protesters. So I wish these people would learn that cops know what to do and how they do their jobs if they just simply would take the handcuffs off and let us do it so this stuff would end. Minneapolis, prosecutors want a joint trial for the four cops that have been arrested in the Floyd case. We have the third body cam video released in the death of George Floyd. The mayor will not fill 100 police job vacancies. And today's protesters, today, they vandalized the precinct office and they targeted cops with fireworks. So I guess that's catching on. So I saw a mic open. I think it might have been Major Ron. Was there a comment on one of these things I just covered?
Yeah, it was referenced Chicago and Mayor Lightfoot. Did you all see the press conference earlier this week with the new superintendent? You guys know who the new superintendent in Chicago is, right?
No.
He's the chief from Dallas. Remember? Yeah, he did that impassionate speech when he got his five guys were murdered, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, the black guy. Black chief.
Davis or something?
Is it Brown? Anyway, he stood up there and they were asking, like, you know, like, blah, blah, you know, well, what's the issue? He goes, well, they have no consequences. You all did a poor job. You know, they have no consequences. Why wouldn't they do it again? Why didn't you think they would do it again? And then she goes, okay, we're not taking questions. You all aren't going to bait us into a corner. Like, she was trying to act like you baited him. And he was just saying what Brett and myself and Dave and yourself, what we all say. You know, if you have no consequences, what do you think? You know, oh, I got arrested, but now they have to expunge it and erase it. And, you know, and they might get fired. You know, it's so stupid. But anyway, I didn't mean to derail your train of thought. I just wanted to bring that out there and tell you that that chief, he's going to, he has a, you know, long road of hope, but he's a, you know, he's a man for the job. I think he's a really good chief. And I just want to see how he can, you know, bring his leadership ability to a mess like that.
Well, let's hope. Now, before I talk about Austin, I want to talk to you guys about something that's affecting our law enforcement agencies nationwide right now. Our country's crying out for accountability around who we hire to serve and protect them. And I've had a front row seat and not only seeing, but also experiencing the flaws in vetting and hiring law enforcement officers. It doesn't have to be this way. And my friends at Guardian Alliance Technologies, they have the solution. Guardians developed a CJIS compliant background investigation software platform that helps you uncover potentially problematic applicants in record time while helping to ensure that you have the best quality officers serving. So no upfront fees, training fees, installation costs, long-term contracts, or commitment. Don't even worry about that. It doesn't exist. So I strongly recommend visiting them today at GuardianAllianceTechnologies.com. GuardianAllianceTechnologies.com. And we appreciate their sponsorship. So now we're in Austin. So the police budget has been cut by one third. So that's over $150 million. 12 services, including forensics lab, they actually could be removed from police oversight. Officers and cadets are actually leaving the agency by an increase of 34% compared to this time last year. Imagine that. And jumping to Seattle, they used to be in the front burner. Now they don't have a lot of stuff going on there. But There is an interesting article that I think you guys will find fascinating. But starting off, we're talking about two officers injured. They're 18 arrested in a riot. Police chief is resigning in protest because they made cuts. City council voted to reduce the department by 100 people. I think that was a unanimous decision. So she's leaving. But listen to this story out of Seattle. David, I'm really kind of interested to hear your perspective on this. A Seattle brewery is putting ACAB, which stands for All Cops Are Bastards. They're putting a stamp on the bottom of cans. And it's a brewery doing this. So Dylan Ziegler, he manages Chuck's Hop Shop. And so he's not producing, he's just carrying it. But he noted that the Choosy Lover Beer, so it's C-H-O-O-S-E-Y, Lover Beer, it has a stamp on the bottom of the can, and it reads ACAB for All Cops Are Bastards, and it says ACAB means all cops. So they're basically saying all cops are bastards. So now it's made by the Mirage Brewery. And remember, this is in Seattle. And so the owner of the Mirage Brewery, Michael Dempster, he's defending the stamp on the bottom of the cans. And here's a quote saying that, I used the markings because I stand against institutional racism. So he's implying that it's racism in law enforcement. So he stands against institutional racism, of which modern policing is a militarized arm. And he also wrote, if it means someone won't buy my beer anymore, good. The beer was not created for them. I make my beer for folks who are actively anti-racist, anti-Trump, anti-fascist, and pro-equality. And as for Ziegler, he's not going to stop selling the beer. He says that I don't think it hurts his sales at all. He goes, I believe that his message is right, and I'm proud of him for taking a stand honestly. Wow. So David and Brett, chime in, guys.
I just hope the Isley brothers smack him in the face for stealing one of their song titles, Choosy Lover. Big Isley brothers fan. That's just all wrong. That's to start off. Secondly, what was it? What was his name? Something Dumpster? Was that one of the guys' names? Something Dumpster?
Dumpster.
I don't know. Yeah, Dumpster. Dumpster. Michael Dumpster. That guy.
I like that.
It's all beautiful until there's nobody left in Seattle to buy the beer. So you'll be handing it out to the bums and the homeless and the drug addicts and all the crap that's left. that are living in the hotels and on the streets, because they're going to be the only ones there. So you keep your local brewery right there in Seattle, and you'll be drinking your own beer, because that's the only thing that's going to be left. You keep going down that road. We see how that goes. But I mean, this is all of this stuff. As you go through all these cities, all these different articles through all these different cities, you look at Austin. Oh, the mayor from Austin was on the mayor's organization. Yeah, that was that guy. And same with Seattle and everything else. These stories are all the same. It just keeps going. It's the same crap. It's almost hardly worth even talking about anymore, because they're lost. They're done. It's over. They're gone. It's just how far down the toilet they're going to go before they claim bankruptcy, go out of business, and start crying to the federal government for subsidies and help, which they're already doing. I think in the latest COVID money is what they're trying to get. It's ridiculous. It's hardly worth even talking about anymore. These idiots, Michael Dumpster and his piss beer. Sorry, Will.
Wow. And Brett, you're up next, buddy.
Well, what I'd like to do to that beer manufacturer, I'm going to have tattooed on the bottom of my can, all anti-cops are douchebags, and I'm going to fly all the way out there, and I'm going to show them the bottom of my can and say, listen, if you don't buy my stuff, that's not going to hurt me either, but I think I need to have my say. So, and given the size of my can, I think it's probably going to be called a growler. It's a pretty big can. So I think I'll have room to write all everything I need to on the bottom of my can, and then have that message displayed out there. Anybody with me?
I like that, Brett. And so thanks, guys. Good stuff. Brett, did you have anything else you wanted to throw in there before we move on to Atlanta?
I always knew it was Ward.
That's a good point. All right. Well, in Atlanta, so I've only got Atlanta and San Francisco to cover. So the Fulton County, this is interesting, the Fulton County DA and some great news coming up. So the Fulton County DA, you know, this Paul Howard guy that we just can't stand, he tried to out the identities of those people who donated to Garrett Rolfe's legal fund. And Superior Court Judge, I love this guy, Robert McBurney, he actually shut down the warrant. He said there was not enough probable cause. So you got to love that. So, and Garrett Rolfe is the guy, you know, that shot the bad guy in the taser incident. And then there was a motion filed to remove the controversial district attorney, Paul Howard. Of course, we know about that, but it may not matter, because the district attorney, Paul Howard, he was ousted in a runoff election by someone named Fannie Willis by a 3-1 margin following Tuesday's runoff election. And it was about 44,000 votes to only 16,000 votes. So I'll tell you, the public, man, they slammed him, they dumped him, and he's freaking out. So I don't know when the date is of when Fannie takes over, and I'm hoping that Fannie will do the right thing. And I, you know, Ward may know whether Fannie can drop the charges or not, you know, on the officer Rolfe. But thank God that we've got this Paul Howard guy has been voted out. So I absolutely love it. So Ward, actually, if you wouldn't mind talking about that first, and then David and Brett are waiting to go next.
The new prosecutor absolutely can drop the charges. Kudos to the voters for getting this man out of office. Also, kudos for the judge for refusing the search warrant. As an aside, it's interesting that these people applied for a search warrant. A search warrant is presented to the judge in camera, that is, with no one else knowing about it. So they tried to get these records without a chance for anyone to object to it. Normally, in a situation like this, you would get a subpoena, which means you give notice, the other side gets notice, and they come in and argue about it. This is just one more sneaky, tricky, in my opinion, unethical attempt by this now former prosecutor.
Wow. Yeah, I never would have thought of that. I wasn't aware of that. It's a very interesting Ward. David?
You know, it's. I'm glad that he's gone. That's great. But what do we know about the new one that's coming in? And this was just a runoff between Democrats. So what is, I think it was a female that ousted him. What is her position on the whole thing? Is she going to even have the stones to stand up and go, this is all bullcrap, and throw it out? I don't see that happen. I just don't. But, you know, we'll see.
Well, I mean, you kind of hope that they realize his actions is what cost him, you know, his office. But you're right. You know, who knows? It would take a lot of stones for her to do that. I would be impressed. So We'll see. Catherine, is there anything you wanted to add before we move on?
Yeah, first, to get beat by somebody named Fandy, that's got to hurt pretty bad.
Wow.
And you're right. You're right, Dave. We don't know what this person's ideas are coming in, but let's take that one little victory and just ride it just for a little bit.
Ah, love it. Got to love it. All right. And then finally, San Francisco, our last one on this, adding mental health response team, and they're shifting the responsibility from law enforcement officers. So, you know, wondering how that's going to work out for them, David. We may be doing some more stories because San Francisco.
Forget it. I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. Mark the tape, Will. It's not for a cuss word. I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. The mental health team is going to go out and call the cops and say, come down here and help us with this crazy, this big, crazy son of a bitch. That's what's going to happen. Guaranteed. Absolutely guaranteed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, more content for us. You know, you heard it here first. All right, guys. If there's nobody else, I think we got some videos to cover then. So let's get to our first one here. Police1.com, a cop unintentionally. Wow. David, you're going to be all over this. Cop unintentionally, he shoots a man after being hit by a deputy's taser. And on this particular call, it started out with a sheriff's office, but they needed help from the police department. So you got two agencies. It's just crazy. So where else is Reno, Nevada? Body-worn camera footage was released by the Reno Police Department. So this happened on July the 26th. The shooting happened when a deputy used a taser meant for the suspect, the bad guy, but he accidentally hit a police officer, the guy with the other agency. So the officer who had his gun pointed at the bad guy pulls the trigger, discharges his firearm once, and he actually hits the suspect. So I know, Brett, when we try to, we can't hit the bad guy. And then when something like this goes down, you know, and the guy's getting tased, he freaking hits him, you know what, in the shoulder, I think. So officers were called to the scene to assist a Washoe County sheriff's deputy. He pulled over a reportedly reckless driver. The man was being uncooperative, noncompliant. Pretty good-sized guy, actually, David. When I saw the beginning of the clip, he's got his shirt off. He's putting his shirt on. They got his face dithered, but, you know, pretty big guy. I'm glad they didn't have to go, you know, fisticuffs with the guy. But so he's non-compliant, and so it shows the officers are standing around the bad guy, and what do you see? They're in a circle. They're in a circle around the suspect. So it's going to be a crossfire situation. At that point, a deputy moves around behind the man, the bad guy, and he deploys the taser. Unfortunately, the deputy misses, and he strikes a Reno police officer in the knee. The officer fires off one round in the suspect's shoulder. The man starts to walk away, falls to the ground bleeding. Reno police officer asks, who was it? And the officer who fired the gun, he says, I think it was me. I got shot with a taser, and I thought, and he uses the F word. So at least you don't have to bleep that out, Will. So the suspect's taken to the hospital. He's fine. He's released. The officer who was actually shot by the taser, I don't understand. They took him to the hospital. They had the dart removed, the prongs. I don't understand. Maybe it was in a funky place in his knee. Who knows? But Captain Brett, your expert opinion on this, because you have been to the gun law, the gunlearn.com school. What is your expert opinion on this?
Well, I don't know about expert. Let me just give my opinion. You know, I've shot guns a lot in my life, and nobody's ever asked me, hey, was that you? And I responded, you know, I'm not real sure. I know my gun is smoking, and I saw a case eject in it, but, you know, I'm still not sure, but let's do some more research. Now, the funniest thing I read was the cop says, can you go on your knees, please? And the man says, no. The deputy says, let's talk about things. And the man announced, I love this, I'm going to run. I'm sorry. I mean, he's going, I'd love to stay and chat, but I got to go. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Wow.
Crossfire applies to all weapons, including tasers. All you could hear was, just pow. And I'm sorry. I'm laughing. I know I'm going to hell for it, but my God, that was funny as all get off. I mean, if there was a Keystone Cops episode, that's got the title on it. I mean, it was just between the guy saying sorry, but I'm going to run to the taser discharge, and the gun going off. I mean, it was right out of the Three Stooges Keystone Cops. It was hysterical. I'm glad nobody was really seriously hurting this, but
except
it was
for
just
egos.
I'm going, oh Lord, I mean, crossfire. Pow! Oh, yeah, beautiful.
You know, it was so funny. The cop, it's almost like he's going, I deny it. It was not me. It was, you know, remember on the coffee cup, every cop has deny everything, demand proof, make counter accusations. That's what he was doing just about right there.
Wow. Entertaining. All right, guys, all good. So speaking about this and guns and ammo and stuff, no matter how much you know about guns and ammunition, there is always that knowledge gap that leaves you confused and missing the complete picture, unless you're retired Captain Brett Bartlett. So GunLearn.com, they actually took the confusion out of learning and they made it easy. GunLearn.com, it's the first and it's the only company to offer a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. And Captain Bartlett went to the school, of course, so that's why I referenced him. They provide citations from federal law and ATF rulings for every point taught to ensure accuracy, and their training is approved by major forensic organizations, law enforcement agencies, and firearm manufacturers. Since 1996, they've taught everything LEOs need to know about firearms and ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. Start today with online training or register to attend a live seminar. You can actually get free training for yourself and your personnel at your agency by hosting a seminar at no cost to your agency. So come aboard as one of the most firearm knowledgeable people in the world by joining the folks at GunLearn.com. Wow, great, great organization. All right, guys. So moving along, since we're on the video side, our next one, Police1.com and Law Enforcement Today. Cop saves a man in a wheelchair from an oncoming train. You know, I don't usually throw these things in. Cops do a lot of things we don't get recognized for. Most of us just don't want recognition for something like this, but this was really pretty sensational. And it was a female. Now, we don't have females represented on the day show. So since I anticipated slamming the female gender because, you know, Andrea and Cody aren't here, I thought I would have a feel good story to kind of, you know, like bring them back up. So,
well, just get Brett. Brett will identify as a female for a couple of minutes, I'm sure.
If we had a dog on the show, we could actually use Ron's voice in lieu of having a female. But so it's Lodi. I looked it up, David. It's pronounced Lodi, California. The rescue of a man in a wheelchair on Wednesday along railroad tracks in Lodi was captured on body camera video. The police officer pulled him off the tracks with only seconds to spare. So it's Officer Erica Urea of the Lodi Police Department. She's patrolling near the railroad tracks. It's 8:44 in the morning, and she sees the man on the tracks. So she pulls up in a car. She sees the man identified as 66-year-old, but they don't give his name. He's got his wheelchair stuck on the tracks. And just as the crossing arms are coming down and there's an oncoming Union Pacific locomotive and it's approaching fast. So she bolts out of her cruiser. She runs to the man, attempts to pull his chair off the tracks. And in the span of 4 seconds, she's seeing that it's wedged. She pulls him out of the chair and both her and this guy fall to the ground. And the locomotive actually, when it goes by, it actually hits the chair and it strikes the man's leg. So I don't know if it actually hit his leg or knocked the chair into the man's leg, but the guy's injured. So between the time that the female officer actually exits her car and the train crosses, it's only 15 seconds. So the man suffered the injury, taken to the hospital, and he's treated. And the officer was as well. But everybody's going to be fine. The guy's going to survive. So it was a pretty sensational video. David, you're shaking your head.
No, I agree. I agree. It's one of those things, like you said, that I don't know how many times it's happened in police agencies across the nation where an officer or deputy comes upon a scene and does something that if it got exposure, it would be, you know, an heroic act. The female didn't hesitate. She jumped out of her car. The female officer deputy jumped out of her car, did her thing, saved the guy's life. But it never ceases to amaze me. How in the hell does that happen? Of all places on earth, how does he get stuck in his damn scooter mobile and on the damn sideways? What? That's like your car. You know, you see the signs on the bridges, the long bridges. Check your gas, because everybody runs out of gas on a bridge. You get stuck on a railroad track. I know I've heard of Murphy's Law, but I mean, how? This is a phenomenon that needs extra study. I think something is going on. I don't know what it is, but California, again, thank you very much. It's amazing. It's simply amazing. We have a railroad track in Tampa that's just like that. 50th Street, just north of Adamo, they get waffled there on a regular basis. Don't ask me how, but they do it. It's fascinating. Good job, officer. Nice job.
Well, David, you know, we cannot all afford brand new Escalades, which you just got from the money you're making doing the show. So,
oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, my bonus, my show bonus money, exactly.
All right,
hey, Will,
guys.
Will, mark the tape.
Oh,
so I don't get a glam squad or Escalade. Oh, I know what's going on here. Oh, we know what's going on.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. All right. Yeah. Let me start putting you and Mayor Lori Lightfoot in the same. Yeah, whatever. Okay, here we go. Next, moving along here, we got another video. This is on leoaffairs.com. So the video is shot by a guy. I had to rewrite the article. I didn't like the way it was written, but it's shot by a guy named Callum Owen. So give credit to this guy. On Saturday, it starts with a Welsh police officer. He's in a town called Barry. He's standing over a woman on the ground. So when the video starts, you don't know whether the cop's actually fighting the woman or whether it's this guy who's standing up was fighting the woman, knocked her down. We don't know. But anyhow, maybe one of you guys knows more than I do. But anyhow, the cop's over the woman. She's on the ground. And then the shirtless man comes up and he starts interfering with the cop. They actually make contact with each other. So then when the man refuses to get on the ground, when the officer's ordering him to, the cop goes up. He grabs the guy's wrist and he does a pretty impressive leg sweep, gets the guy on the ground, but the cop never loses contact with the guy's right wrist. So, and that normally, you know, even cops, they normally lose contact. You got to jump back on the guy and get in position. Man, the cop never lost contact. But while the cop's doing this, the woman, who I think was sweet on the man, she gets off the ground and she runs up and she physically makes contact with the cop, interfering with him trying to arrest this bad guy. So what's the cop do? He's got a hold of the bad guy and he pulls out the taser and he shoots her. She tries running away and she locks up and face plants on the asphalt. It was just a beautiful thing. And they interviewed, it was the Barry police station. So both the man and the woman were both 35 years of age. They were arrested for various offenses, but I just thought it was just a sight to behold. But this cop was a one-man show. It provided a lot of entertainment for me and for our viewers. So I hopefully you guys liked it. For the people watching the show, if you want to see the video before we'll post it, go to our Facebook page, Leo Roundtable, and you'll see all the videos and all the stories we're talking about, links to the videos, everything on there. So if there's no comments on the video, I am somewhat disappointed that David did not weigh in on this. I was really hoping that he would. I know if Newman was here...
What do you say? What do you say? All you have to do is watch the video. That is the "I'm done with your crap" moment. That's when the cop says, "I'm done with your crap" moment. That's what that was. He sweeps the guy, puts him on his back. Not beautifully done, by the way. Both legs, nicely done. Left hand on right, his left hand on bad guy's right hand, sweeps the leg, puts him down. The woman comes over. He goes, "Oh, you want some too?" gives her the ride. It was beautiful. I mean, just watch the video. It's just beautiful.
You know, we're critical on use of force. I think rightfully so. I mean, people, you know, sometimes we'll get a nasty email because we'll cover use of force and the cop will contact us and they don't appreciate it. But when we see something good, we acknowledge it. Now, there's a lot of stuff, a lot more videos that we get in the US than we do out in the UK and stuff. So, but this guy, he had great training. I mean, he executed and they have multiple targets and to engage, you know, he didn't release the bad guy when he engaged the female. I mean, he was multitasking. It was a beautiful thing. I was impressed.
As Val Kilmer once said, "I have two guns, one for each of you."
Val Kilmer. Oh, wow. That's going way back. All right, guys. Well, speaking of going back, let's get another video here. Wow, this is from another one from retired Captain Sherry Atkins Boutnick and Brian Atkins. You know, she married Brian, so I'm giving you the credit there with the last name in there, just in case you didn't pick up on that. So this is on AmericanGG.net. Actually, has some pretty good videos on there. I hadn't been to the site before, but it's an older video. We've never covered it on the show. I've never seen it before, but mugger asks for cash, and the victim pays with lead. But there's a police take on this. So the mugger's in a blue shirt. They show him on the video, and it's narrated. And everybody's in line at an ATM. And he walks up to this guy that's, like, next in line. They go up to an ATM. There's a line of ATMs, a line of people, and it's crowded. It's daylight. And he walks up and pulls a gun on this guy who happens to be an off-duty cop. So it says that he wanted cash, but he really – I think he wanted – everything the guy had, but the off-duty cop had a, I guess, a thick gold chain. So what the cop did, he had his gun concealed, So the off duty cop in plain clothes bows his head down, and the bad guy takes the, is trying to get all the stuff off of him. And so the cop lets everything drop to the ground. So now the bad guy's got to get on the ground to get the stuff. And the cop backs away, and the girl that was behind him in line, as he's going behind her, that's when he draws his weapon. So the bad guy can't see it, which is, it was just beautiful. And so as the mugger, you know, really armed robber is picking up the goods off the ground, the officer draws his concealed carry pistol, puts multiple shots on target in the guy's chest at close range. It was quite a beautiful thing, actually. I'm expecting Brett had to close his camera, I think, as he's fanning himself or something else is going on. But Major Ron, would love to get your input on that.
Yeah, I thought he did a great job. It's like when they tell you to take a small amount of money and throw it that way, so while they look at it, you run the other way, or, you know. But I thought he did a great job. I know he caught a lot of hell, like, oh, he used that civilian for cover. And he didn't. He used her for concealment. He was getting his gun, and he was going behind her. And he turned around, and guy, you know, lost him for a second, and he just sent him to his maker. You know, the good Lord was calling him home, and so he just sent him home. So it was, I thought he did a great job. You know, he could have fought the guy with the gun and everyone, but you saw people, you know, see what's going on. I just don't understand how people could just stand there. You know, you see the man with a gun in his ribs. I don't know. I mean, I guess I haven't been a civilian for 30 years, so, or 32 years, so. But anyway, I just thought, you know, whenever we win, it's a good thing.
David, I'll answer the aftermath, what the cop did after the shooting too, but what was your take on that?
I'll answer Ron's question. The reason that everybody was standing around watching is the site that comes off of the YouTube channel, it's Active Self-Protection. A guy gets a lot of his material out of Brazil and South America and places like that, where the off-duty cops, they just smoke people left and right. The armed robberies down there, like off the chain in some of the cities in Brazil, São Paulo and some of the places, that's where he gets a lot of his material that he shows. It's, I mean, he, you know, he critiques the videos like we do, but so that's where you see that a lot of the off duty guys, remember we had the video a little while ago about there was a woman standing on the side of the road at a daycare or something like that. And some guy came up to try to rob him and she smoked him. And Ward was trying to get to Columbia or wherever it was to meet her or whatnot. That one. That's all the same. That's all the same place coming out of Brazil. A lot of those videos. So, and the people down there are used to seeing it. They're used to seeing armed robberies go down on the street, left and right, carjackings, you name it. It's got to be a damn shooting gallery for the cops down there, which they do a good job of it. And he did do a good job of taking care of business. So yeah. To answer your question, it's down there.
Desensitized is what you're saying?
Yeah. It's a regular thing. They just grab their kids and get out of the way.
I think I sent you one chip last week where the guy comes in. He's at the cash register. He gets taken care of. And then the guy comes in to rob him, you know? And the dude shoots him in, like, the side of the head 3 times. I was like, damn, because the guy at the cash register was also an off-duty police officer. So, but I think I sent that to you last week.
Yeah, but I got that, like, I saw that 6 months ago, so.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. All right. All right, guys. If there's nobody else, then we will go on our next one. So thanks, Sherry. Keep the videos coming, please. Police1.com, Florida officer fired over KKK Twitter bio, you know, and it's at USF, University of South Florida, where I actually graduated from. You know, you'd think these cops would know. This officer fired after an investigation concluded that her racist Twitter bio could harm the reputation of the police department. I already know what Brett's going to say on this. Presley Garcia, she's an officer. She was hired in 2018, so she's been on less than 2 years. Placed under investigation in early July after a Bay News 9 reporter contacted the department, and the reporter had screenshots from her Twitter account, and which has since been deleted. And the account's bio read KKK member. So Garcia, she's 26 years old, fired last week, says she felt that she's been let down by her agency. More than anything else, she says she wanted people to know that she's not racist. She condemns racism and condemns the KKK. And she says there's all the talk of back the blue, but not one person had my back. I feel helpless, like I'm drowning. No one's willing to just listen to my story. I feel like the university was just trying to cover their butts. That's not something I believe in. That's not how I was raised. And there's something else talking about how someone else put it on her Twitter account. She says she never used the account. and they did an investigation. She used her for college. Anyhow, she got all kinds of excuses on this, but it was on her account. So, yeah, I know. Major Ron and then Brett. Go ahead, guys.
Okay, first of all, your name is Garcia. I don't know if that's your born name or if you married that person, but you're an idiot, woman. You're stupid, and you make everything about law enforcement. And when people are on the fence and they want to say all they say about the racism and the endemic and pandemic racism and the systematic racism, you just enforce that kind of behavior and thinking. So good riddance to your stupid, silly ass, because you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be here. If you're that damn stupid, that stundo, that boom boom, you should not be a law enforcement officer in this day and age or in any age. And you shouldn't be a law enforcement officer anyway, anywhere. So who should have your back, dumbass? Who should have your back? That's dumb as dirt. You're an idiot. And there's no other way to say it. And the last thing, you graduated from USF, that's just FSU backwards.
All right. Captain Brett.
There is nothing wrong with a department covering its butt in that the organization is going to live and it will survive no matter what little infected part of the body there is. If they're going to cut off the infected part and send it away, of course the agency is going to cover its butt. And in this case, it's not really covering your butt. It is doing the right thing. There's no way this cop can be an effective police officer. And in this day and age, anybody who lets that happen is an idiot. Now, her story is, well, a friend of mine did it, and there's no way I could undo it. Well, and you're just now thinking of this after you get fired. It makes not a lick of sense. So she should change her name, first name Jobs, last name Opening. Job Opening, that's her new name.
A lot of truth to that. All right, guys. Well, thanks. Hey, I want to talk about the Viridian Fact Duty. So the Viridian Fact Duty weapon mounted camera idea was born by company owner and the employees, and they did it when they watched communities around the country being literally torn apart and burned down over the lack of evidence in multiple officer involved shootings. They used existing patented technologies and innovative design to create the Fact Duty. That's FACT Duty, and it's become the only gun camera in wide use by law enforcement across the nation. So this gun camera, it actually fits standard police duty weapons and holsters, and it records automatically when the officer's gun is actually pulled out of the holster, provides an unobstructed view of the critical use of force incidents from the end of the firearm, and overcomes inherent issues that you have with body cams. You know, nothing's getting in the way of the video, which is great. So body and dash cameras were not designed to capture officer-involved shootings. However, Viridian gun cameras were designed specifically for this purpose. So the Fact Duty, it employs a 1080p high-definition camera. It's got a microphone, a 500-lumen tactical light. Viridian's proprietary instant-on technology means that the Fact Duty generates just a small fraction of the data size managed to manage and compared to other weapon systems that they have, or even video systems that they have. And this is a huge advantage when you're storing data, because right now all that data cost goes for the storage. So it results in significantly lower comparative data management costs than other evidentiary camera systems. The data stored securely and easily transferred per agency protocol with existing software technology. So more information on the Fact Duty is available at gun-camera.com. Again, it's gun-camera.com, and we will have a link under the video on our website as well, and we appreciate their sponsorship. So guys, we're getting close to time, but you know, we got room for a couple more here on Police One and also on Legal Affairs. We got a Florida sheriff ordering deputies and visitors not to wear a mask. Now, this is in Ocala. So as the city of Ocala, it's wrestling actually with an ordinance requiring face coverings for people inside businesses. Marion County Sheriff Bill Woods, he told employees that they will not wear a mask at work, and visitors in his office, they cannot wear a mask either. Now, Woods, that's the sheriff, in an email dated August the 11th, said that my order will stand as is when you are on duty and working as my employee and representing my office. Mask will not be worn. Now, the Ocala City Council, they passed an emergency ordinance last week requiring people to wear masks inside businesses, but Mayor Kent Gwynn vetoed it, and now the council's meeting to see if they're going to try to override the mayor's veto. Marion County actually set a single day record on Tuesday for the most deaths related to COVID-19, with 13 more deaths reported. Now, it talks about Ocala and other municipalities in Marion County also advising officers not to wear masks while on duty, so their communication to people can be clear. And I'll tell you, man, when I go places and a waiter or a waitress is wearing a mask, I have a really hard time understanding them. So Florida does not have a statewide order, and that's a lot of the sheriff's motivation in doing that is for communication reasons. Now, there are exceptions that the sheriff makes to wearing a mask if you're in the courthouse, jail, public schools, hospitals, dealing with people suspected of being COVID-19, you know, positive, or you're in a high-risk situation, you know. But other than that, he doesn't want his employees to do that. So, Ron, I know since you're going to be the next Hillsborough County Sheriff, I don't know how you feel about that policy. I thought it was pretty interesting this guy's taken such a strong stance, especially in a county where they've had a lot of COVID hits. Major?
Well, you know, I like to follow the science and what are the facts. You know, again, facts matter. But it crushes me that before you go in any building, you have to have a mask on, and they have these little Jiffy masks that probably cost $1 a piece to make, and they sell them anywhere from $2 to $40, depending on where you unfortunately respond and you don't have a mask. But right on the box, it says, this does nothing to prevent COVID-19, this mask. But yeah, you have to have that mask on. So everyone's confused, and I get it, you know? But as sheriff, I understand the communication, but if the public at large feels better and they're more comfortable with you having a mask on, what if they like stop calling you or, you know, I would never have done that. I would say you are prevented from wearing a mask. You know, I wouldn't have done that. You know, follow the science. What are the scientists saying? They say still, although it says it does nothing to prevent COVID-19, that wearing the mask will prevent more deaths. Okay, then that's what the scientists say, then that's what I have to go with. You know, I would never say, oh, I'm brighter than the scientists. I'm the smartest man in the room. You know, I often say that, but, you know, not in reality.
Well, you were the problem, though.
No, I would not have done that. So you have to err on the side of caution, although you're getting mixed messages all over the place. But I would err on the side of caution.
Well, thanks, Major. Corporal David.
I prefer to err, and let me see how many people I can piss off. I prefer to err on the side of freedom. That's the side I prefer to err on. I don't have a problem with what the sheriff did. I agree with Ron that he probably went a little bit too far by saying you will not wear a mask. But I think that city and county politicians who are seriously overstepping their bounds passing mandatory mask stuff all over the place. I think it should be that the best science is laid out there and provided this is what the science says, and you've got as many experts on one side saying masks help to another side, like Ron said, they're like, not really, there's no proof type of thing. So you can get whatever expert you want to say whatever side you want it to land on, you can find it. So I err on the side of saying, here's the science. This is what we have. This is what that's what they say, so on and so forth. If you want to wear a mask, wear it. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear it. If a private business requires you to wear a mask to come in, then it's your choice as to whether or not you go to that business. If you, as my law enforcement officer, if I'm the sheriff, sorry, Ron, and some places, I'm sorry, deputy, you can't come in here if you're not wearing a mask. And you as the deputy say, well, okay, then come out here to talk to me because I'm not putting a mask on. If you tell me not to come in, I won't. But I'm not, you know, I have the choice, the freedom to make that choice for myself. And I think that's what they're all missing on this is that personal freedom and that personal responsibility, not to anybody else, but to myself. And by having personal responsibility to myself, that translates to everybody else. If I'm a high-risk person, I have one of those underlying conditions, then you should take precautions. But if not, then I say no. So I'm with the sheriff in Marion County. I think he's standing up and doing the right thing. But don't worry, Ron. I'll give you some advice down the road. I'll take care of your brother.
Wow. Very good, guys. Very good. Anybody else on this one? I know we got Brett. Brett, your mic is open. Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, I don't even know if we talked about this before. Maybe Ward can jump in. How is it that any government entity can make me wear a mask? Under what law, what statute, what reasoning, what how can they make me do that? I don't think we've ever talked about that. How can they make me wear something that I don't want to wear? Ward, please.
The state exercises police power for the benefit of the public. How far it can go is up to the courts. My guess is, yes, it can make you wear a mask given the right circumstances. In 1915, the Supreme Court said that the state can require people to have a smallpox vaccination. Now, they said, however, you can't make someone do it. You can just sanction them if they don't do it. So maybe with the same thing with a mask, they can't make you wear it, but they can sanction you if you don't wear it. So it all comes down to the police power of the state.
Well, then they can make you
do it.
That's
where the authority is.
Isn't sanction making you do it?
Not necessarily.
But you just can't
refuse to do it. You can refuse, for example, you can choose not to have a smallpox vaccination in 1915, but you're going to get fined for not doing it. But you don't have to let them enter your body.
Well, so all laws, they can't make me not stop some, kill somebody. They can only sanction me for doing it, right?
No, I think that's apples and oranges. I mean, you can prevent people from killing people.
I don't want to wear a mask, and they will punish me if I don't. Isn't that making me wear a mask? Isn't that forcing me to wear a mask?
It may well be. The state and the government make you do all sorts of things you may not want to do.
Yeah.
Well, we got one minute.
You have to obey the speed. You have to obey the speed limit. You got to get permits for your house. All sorts of things.
Okay.
Well, you may find this out, Brett, firsthand if they come out with this vaccine and they require you to take it too. That's David. I see David's message.
I wouldn't. I take vaccines for other things. I take the flu vaccine. I take vitamins to fend off weight gain, and that's not working at all. Maybe that's a bad example.
Remember that penicillin you took when that burning sensation you had?
I had that message on my bottom of my can. I think I would do it, but I don't think they should make me do it.
All right, guys. Well, very, very interesting. We'll continue this topic later, but very interesting stuff. Hey, guys. We're going to go and wrap it up. So thank you to our panel for being here. Thank you for the people, our subscribers that are on YouTube conversing with us. And also a shout out to Calm Case Management, Extra Duty Solutions, Guardian Alliance Technologies, GunLearn.com, Viridian Weapon Technologies. Thank you so much for your sponsorship. Police One, Law Enforcement Today, Leo Affairs, and also Good Talk Radio and the Free Press. Hope everybody has a wonderful and a safe week. Good night.